If you're an established woman in tech who is creating results and making an impact at work, so your workload and stress just keep growing, but promotions and salary bumps remain a distant dream, it's time for a change. Listen, we all know the tech industry has dramatically changed. It's time your career approach did too. You don't need cookie cutter programs or dusty advice from outdated playbooks because what works for tech bros won't work for you. You need individualized, bespoke support to build your brave career, one that reflects who you are as a woman in tech. I invite you to explore career coaching with me. Get all the details, including prices and client results, at tricksteinbach.com. You can stress less, work less, and earn more. You've already earned it. Let's make it happen. Welcome to the Build Your Brave Career podcast, where we flip the script on the tired stereotype that women in and around the tech industry have to be stressed out, overworked, and underpaid. I'm Nicole Tricksteinbach, the International Bravery Coach and your host. Forget what you've been taught. Bravery is not a personality trait available only to the brash. Bravery is a skill, and you already have it. Which is great, because building the skill of bravery is the most powerful way to creating the career and life you really want. As you build your brave, you will stress less, work less, and then earn more. This podcast will help you do just that. Let's dive in. This week, we're covering a lot of ground, and it's very rich because this week I am welcoming a former colleague and now personal friend as our guest. Our guest is Christine Cairn. Now, Christine designs and she facilitates transformative journeys for individuals, teams, and organizations. She is a former global Fortune 500 executive. She's lived in a variety of places in the world, and she has a wealth of expertise in leadership, employee engagement, team development, and also program development. She is a certified conscious leadership coach, and she is so passionate about inviting people to wake up to the life you are living so that you step into the life you want. And that is, in one sentence, what you are about to experience. Now, there are two elements that I want to point out before we dive into our conversation. The first one is, please listen in for radical responsibility, what it is not, and the beautiful transformative power of acknowledging that you co-create your experiences professionally and personally, and what you can do about it. And secondly, the way Christine shares her story, as you're listening to it, I want you to also be thinking about, where are places that you have been, perhaps unknowingly, preparing for a transformational career moment for years? All right, let's go. Oh, I am so excited and grateful that you are here, that we are sharing, because I don't know what's coming. So like the audience, I get to have this experience, but I do know you for so many years, and I know the generosity and the specificity that you tend to bring into heart-led situations. So welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and to chat with you. Yeah.
So we start now with, what is your brave career advice?
Yeah. My brave career advice. If I were to think of one thing that has changed the trajectory of my life, but also my career, it would be that It would be taking responsibility for the results in my life, like truly taking responsibility. So what I mean by that is, so often we blame situations or people for how we're feeling, for the results we're getting, because it's normal, it's good and easy. And I think, you know, it's easy to say it's my boss's fault that I haven't gotten promoted, or I can't get a grip on my time because people keep filling up my calendar. But what is radical is when you start to own that you are a co-creator of those results and not put the blame, I'll just say it, on outside people or circumstances. When you own your inbox, when you own your calendar, when you own your time, when you own your results. So I think when I started doing that, when I started owning the results in my life, not only did my career trajectory change, but my life became more easeful, less drama filled, more of a, like, I owned that I was a powerful creator. And it's actually really empowering to say, how have I contributed to the results that I'm seeing in my life? And when we start to own the ones that we don't like, it's not meant to blame yourself, right? If you take the blame sword and go from outside and turn it inward, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about blaming yourself. I'm talking about empowering yourself and looking in the mirror clearly to say, what was my part in this? And again, I want to pause. It does not mean other people don't have their own 100% to take, their own part to take. It doesn't mean that other people don't contribute to our reality as well, but it's about saying, how have I contributed to my results that I'm getting, and especially owning the ones that we don't like.
Of course, you came in with this radical responsibility. I think this was the
You
first conversation we
know
ever
me.
had,
Yeah.
but this is really intriguing. I'm thinking about my community that listens and the feedback we've gotten and the requests that we've gotten. And so I'm going to say yes with the two questions. How have I contributed to my results in my life? And what was my part in this without shame, blame, and turning it from like the outside in?
Right.
And talk about also claiming the good stuff as well. Because we have a lot of
Exactly.
people who don't.
Exactly. I love that you went there, because joy, funny enough, and even appreciation is incredibly difficult to feel for a lot of people, and celebration. And I'm just going to pause about for a second and share a story about myself. When I was in a 12-month long coaching program, one of the things that I remember, I was blaming my husband because he was not celebrating joy enough. And I was like, something great would happen in my life. And I would say, David, why aren't you jumping up and down? And then again, I took a step back and said, how am I creating less joy in my life? And I realized I was not celebrating. I was not doing the happy dance. I was not feeling the joy, the giddy excitement, like a child when something wonderful was happening. And so I actually was experimenting with, in the moment, letting myself feel that. An email would come in with a gratitude, and I would do a little happy dance and, you know, squeal a little bit. And I'm telling you, so you're spot on that not only do most people not claim results for the things that are not great in their life, but it's also, we often forget to claim ownership over the things that we've done that are amazing. And you know, you're a coach, I'm a coach. And I think one of the things that's beautiful about coaches is that we can be a clear mirror also for the progress that we have made.
And we are
You know?
both coaches that have global experience. We've both lived abroad. We both
Mm-hmm.
worked in multinationals. We both had people responsibility. We ha both had budget responsibility. And I can say for myself that I rejected a lot of my wins until after I had shifted out of that role, out of that project, out of that growth cycle. It was only years later that I was able to, and sometimes months. I mean, now at this point, it's like a couple of months later, I think, because I've been working on this so long, right? Is the radical responsibility of not just when I have co-created a hurtful, harmful, unhelpful situation or result, but also a positive situation. You know, early in my business, one of my clients, I was on a podcast and I was sharing with someone I know very well. And I was saying, like, oh, one of my clients increased her salary by 100,000. Now she was a global executive, so she was already earning lots of money, right? And the host stopped and was like, excuse me? Excuse me? And but I did not allow
Right.
myself to celebrate
Right.
being the person that helped her create that. So
Right.
radical responsibility can go in both ways. Yeah, we're not gonna stab ourselves.
Right.
And sometimes you cook a really good meal and you want to do the happy food dance. Like, I
Exactly.
love the happy food dance.
And not to dismiss and say, oh, so and so helped, or it really wasn't me, or it wasn't that big of a deal. To step into ownership of how amazing we are, but and also, hey, I'm not getting something I like. How have I contributed to that? I believe it's empowering both ways, as you say. I
So
love that.
good. Yeah. So I'm just going to repeat again for everyone. The two questions were, how have I contributed to the results of my life? And what was my part in this? And using that for the positive and the negative. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
good. So what was the brave story? I'm so interested because I know you have a million of them. So which
Well,
one did you want to share?
I thought about because I knew you were going to ask me about the brave story, and there's several, and I remember asking you, is it, can I share two? And you said, it's better to go deep on one. And so if I were to pick one that feels incredibly brave to the point where if I were to do that same, if that same exact moment came today, I don't know if I would make the step, right? Make the leap. So it's like, to me, I feel so I wanted to share the time that I took a leap and trusted that the net was going to be there to support me. I took a leap in the direction of my passion, in the direction of my purpose with no plan, which is very unlike me. Right. I
Yeah, it's
like
very,
structure. I like a plan. I
yeah.
like organization. And so that's what I wanted to share.
Oh
So
my
where
gosh.
would you like me to start?
Oh, well, first of all, start off because I know that you are incredibly senior. So, and that you've lived a couple of places. So start off with like the structural elements. Where were you living? What was your job
Right.
level? Like, start there.
So at the time, this was just thinking about the year, I can't even remember. So, this was about 9 years ago. At the time, I was living in Paris, my dream city. I had been always longing to live there. Previous to that, I had lived in Prague, and I had, by all accounts, a dream job. I was head of the region for the network enablement team, and had the most amazing team. Quite frankly, I love them. They felt like family. We were a high performing, incredibly tight rock star of a team. We had fun. We worked hard. We loved it, right? I loved, and I was in charge of the EMEA region, which meant I was flying to South Africa every few months, sometimes every few weeks, going to the Middle East and obviously all around Europe. So an
Yeah, and
American.
so for our not global audience, EMEA stands for Europe, Middle East, that's the ME, and then Africa. So when someone is in Paris and they're flying to South Africa, that entire region
Exactly.
is the region. Okay, go ahead.
Exactly. Thank you for that. So, yeah, I was senior director of the region and loved my job and loved my life. And I remember I would go every month. We were hiring like crazy. I probably had about 120 people, 130 people on my team at this point. And we were hiring all the time because of growth, not necessarily because of attrition. And so every month I would go down to Prague, fly down to Prague and meet my new hires, and then I would do about an hour and a half of what's my leadership philosophy? What do I expect of you? What's our mission, vision, et cetera. And I remember for a couple of years, I stood up there and I said, if I'm ever not 100% passionate and all in on what we're doing, you will not see me up here. I said that
Oh,
for, yeah, for
that is
years.
bold and brave.
That's, I guess, yeah, that's part of the brave story is me just already stepping into that and knowing that I did not want to be the kind of leader that wasn't all in with them, all in on the mission, all in on what I was doing.
Well, I
So,
have a new idea of how I potentially can grow in my bravery. If I'm not 100% it, oh, that is so okay. Keep going with your
yeah.
brave story. Fantastic.
So I would say that, and it was intentional, and I meant it. And I remember I was in South Africa. So the leading up to this, just so that you, if you were to know me, part of the story is that I went through a massive transformation over the course of the few years that I lived in Europe, a spiritual, a physical, an emotional, and a transformation of stepping into what true leadership looked like for me in my life. Again, that goes back to my advice, owning your results. That was one piece of it, but I was transforming how I showed up. I was no longer interested in gossip. I was no longer interested in the drama. I was trying to find new ways of being. And as I was evolving, my leadership style evolved. And I remember I started to get more interested in leading the quarterly offsites I had with my leadership team than I was in running the business. And that was just ever so faint, but I started to get more interested in people than process, in the culture than the operations. And I was great at it. I mean, we were a high performing team that was on fire and had fun, and our attrition was next to nothing. And we, you know, it was just incredible. And we hired incredible people, and we kept, you know, incredible people. And so I remember being in South Africa. This was the turning point, and three things happened. I can't remember the third. I wrote them down in a journal somewhere. But one was I actually had a dream. And when I processed that dream, you know, I realized sort of like it was asking me to change. I had a dream that I, you know, don't have all the details for right now, but it was a dream that was clear to me that said, it's time for a new chapter. The second thing was I woke up to an email, a random email from my sister, where she also said, I have this feeling. Something for me is going on. And so I had those two. And the third thing I can't remember, quite frankly, but I remember in that moment in the hotel room thinking, I have lost 1% of passion or 2% of the operations of running this region of the network. I'm more interested in creating atmospheres where people can thrive individually and collectively, empowering these types of cultures, these types of atmospheres. And that's what I need to do. I had no idea what that looked like, what I was going to do. Was I going to start my own business? Was I going to try to find another corporation that I could, you know, support internally? I had no idea. I just had this feeling, this is a gut, you know, intuition. It's always speaking to us. And it's only as loud as we're ever willing to hear. And this was whispers.
Oh, say that again. It's
Intuition is
only.
as loud as we're willing to hear.
That's right.
And sometimes it's a whisper, and sometimes it's a brick on our head that we need to hear. You know what I mean? And so I've gotten really good at listening to the whispers and not needing the brick wall to slam me in my face, right? And so I literally the next week I was in South Africa. I was flying to California for some workshop. My boss happened to be there, and I made a decision. I'm going to quit. I had no idea. That was the leaping. I had no idea what net was going to be underneath me and what even my direction was. I just knew I was really good at this thing called culture and transformation and leadership. And I created atmospheres where high-performing teams can not only be generated and created, but thrive and sustain that. And so I spoke to my boss the next week and I said, I have no idea what I'm going to do, but I'm giving 6 months notice. I'll give you plenty of time to find a new director of the region. I'll support the look, et cetera, the hiring. To the point where I just want to add this is how brave I was. See, and I'm like wanting, I almost feel weird saying that, as you were mentioning celebrating our joy. Like I was brave. I remember walking down the road of Paris with my friend, and I said, if I leave in 8 months, I get $50,000 in stocks paid out. But if I leave in 6 months, I lose all of that. And I remember saying to her, I have to leave in 6 months. I cannot let this dream go off any longer. 2 more months, and I would have gotten a whirlwind of money had I just said, oh, I can stay 8 months. But I said, no, I was boldly stepping into what life was saying your next chapter must be. It must be this. And I did that.
Wow, 50,000
Yeah, I was.
for your inner voice.
Yeah, to listen to the calling that this is not what I'm meant to be doing right now. I'm meant to be doing something different. And I had no direction. I had no, which is again very unlike me. I just trusted that my knowing, where my energy, if we speak about energetically, my energy was with the people and the culture and the supporting the thriving environment. It was less so with the operations and running the team in that way.
And
So I
there was
did.
so much. So one thing I really want to highlight that perhaps is not clear to everyone, especially with lots of love, my younger community members, is how much prep you had done unknowingly for the facilitation. What I would call privilege. If I'm telling my story, I call it privilege, right? I had paid off all my debts. I had saved a bunch of money. I had taken smaller risks first. I had worked hard to build skills. I had failed. I had built that self-trust in myself over time to set myself up for very brave moves, but did not demand it was instantaneous. Because one thing I want to stress in your story is you gave a 6 months notice. I gave a 9 months notice to myself, to my family. I got myself onto the layoff list, and then I had that 9 months. So it's like very, very, very bold, very consequent what you're describing here, radical responsibility. And you prepared for that unknowingly for a very long time. And you didn't demand, it's like, I lost 2%. I'm not feeling this. I know I'm good at this other thing. So I have to make that transformation instantaneously. It has to be today. I quit. Like, I just want to stress that because that is something that I know I didn't realize until I was in my late 30s and I was growing a baby and I was like, oh, change takes time. Oh,
Well,
okay.
and what I kind of I quickly glossed over it, but I spent 5 years and about $50,000 investing in myself. And then I used my team as a practice round of doing all of these facilitations, doing all of these cultural initiatives, doing
Beautiful.
like I was using, as you say, my team,
Beautiful.
my ability to have this wonderful playground to experiment with. Am I good at this? Do I like it? And so I did realize, as I mentioned, that I was more interested in the offsites and the
Yes.
culture building than the
Yes.
operations because I practiced for five. I invested in myself. I went to countless seminars, countless, transformational, studying under a lot of mentors and masters. And so, yeah, there was a lot of work leading up to this one moment in the
I
South African
love this.
hotel room, but it was, you're right. It was all serving me, and I didn't know the direction I was headed, right?
Oh, so beautiful. Oh my God. So then you had a clear conversation with your manager.
And I was
Amazing.
honest. And I remember her
Oh.
saying to me, Christine, what about we go and like we can look at learning and development? What about like let me connect you with HR, with learning and development? I said to her, I just need to leave. I just need to leave. And I was really resistant. This is where some of my resistance came in. And about 3 weeks goes by, and I had again no idea what my next step was going to be. And then I get a call from my manager, and she says, just listen to him. You're going to get a call from the head of the organization. Just please listen to him. Be open to it. And I said, oh, whatever. I don't want you to just create some role for me that's fake, that's like just to keep me here, right? And he talked to me. And if I were to summarize the half an hour conversation in my own words, he said, Christine, I want to look at our people in a way that hasn't been looked at before. I want to do employee engagement differently. It's not working what we're doing right now. And I want you to lead a team to focus on, again, my words, putting our people first and kind of flipping upside down the way we look at serving our people in partnership with HR. Again, HR is critical and important, but at that time, the HR that we had was not really focused on the depth needed in this organization to focus on the culture. And I remember asking him, will I have a team? Will I have budget? Will I have headcount? I had
Powerful
conditions.
questions. That's right. That's
I
right.
had conditions. And I remember one of my conditions was I needed the freedom to be weird, meaning I wanted to try new things. I wanted to experiment.
My God. It's so funny when I, okay, so yes, at the time, okay, go back to corporate Nicole. I'm going back in time, corporate Nicole. Corporate Nicole, at your amazing event in Pittsburgh, where you made one of my dreams come true, and I'm sharing that before we get off this podcast. It was weird. It was weird for Corporate Nicole. It was weird. That's true. It
Yeah.
was weird. But now I look back on that and I'm like, what a heart-centered,
Yeah.
gorgeous human. Like,
Right.
but at the time, I hear you on the weird thing because, yeah. Oh my
Putting people
God.
first, like truly putting them at the center of everything we do. And being, I like to think that I'm a pioneer and I like to work with people that are pioneers and disrupt the status quo. And back then, this is not weird now. This is commonplace now. But back then, having an hour-long meditation session in a 2-day corporate session was unheard of. And that's an example of one of the things that we brought in, right? Or basically making it about the people, and you say heart-centered, not about the numbers, but leading with stories, leading with pictures. Anyways, we can get into all the details about weird, but I don't think that's what we're here for. But that was, for example, one of my conditions. I want the freedom to be weird. And I was clear up front that this was not just a, hey, we want to keep Christine because she's a great performer.
That's
And
right.
he honored his promise, and we made waves and we made a
Yes, you
difference. And
did.
that team is still there today, and it has grown, has expanded. And it's that was the that was a big trajectory change for me and a big bold move that, again, had I been presented with that opportunity today, I'd like to think I would say yes to my intuition and the whispers, but it was a bold move.
Yeah, that's a
To step
very
into the
bold
unknown.
move. And the fact that it worked out so well reflects on, all the things that you already said. Strong performer, very good at relationships, knew where you wanted to go, was trusted, et cetera, willing to take risks. Because yeah, that was built. That's bold. The 50 grand, also bold,
Yeah, and like
right?
Brené Brown says, like life, or I don't know who, which, where she quotes it, that like life rewards the courageous, the ones that step into the arena of life that are willing to do what is aligned with their aliveness, right?
We both lived in Europe for a long time, and I think we're both still involved in networks over there and communities and et cetera. And I find it fascinating, and I can only speak to North America and Europe. I find it fascinating how different groups respond to that quote or quote similar to it, because in the United States, it's exclusively about wealth, financial wealth. Whereas in Europe, I feel like there's more space, probably because there's a social net, but like there's more space for it to be, yes, financial wealth, but also time, working 60%, working 80%, taking a sabbatical, et cetera, right? And so I just want to place that here in our conversation because I do know you. And I know that when you talk about being rewarded, you're talking about long, way past money. Money is obviously important.
I'm talking about, and yeah, I don't love the definition, the classical definition of success or wealth. I think it is often related to money and title. And what I'm talking about is life rewards you with an abundance of love and peace and ease and flow, to be in flow with what you're meant to be doing, right? You could be, I don't care how much money you have, but there are people that have $10 to their name that are in absolute bliss and feel on purpose, right? That they feel like they're living their life on purpose. And that's success to me. That's being rewarded is your inner world, essentially. Are you at peace in your inner world? Are you at peace with who you are and how you're showing up in the world?
So true. So true. Wow. Okay. Awesome. Now, for someone who is so incredibly brave, you obviously, most likely, I'm betting, have brave role models. So, which brave role model do you want to share with us?
I have several people that I've learned from that have been mentors to me, whether they're people that I have spoken to one-on-one or not. And there's one in particular that when I talk to her, when I hear her, when it's her name is Diana Chapman. She's the co-founder of Conscious Leadership. And I've worked with her, been a mentee of hers, and been in her world for about 7 or years or so. And what makes her brave, in my opinion, is that She's in complete congruence with who she is. Her inner world is her outer world. Her outer world is her inner world. She's in integrity in her life, and she speaks her truth in a way that is so incredibly inspiring and powerful. And I've worked with the Conscious Leadership Group professionally for several years too. And the way that they operate is of an integrity that I haven't seen, quite frankly, with many organizations, right? They're willing to leave a $2 million contract if they're not in integrity with their values and how the other corporation is showing up. And so to me, she's a role model for me and a person in my life that I look up to and really seek to learn from on a regular basis. So,
Oh, thank you. And
yeah.
there will be links in the show notes. We'll find
Yeah.
that and we'll make sure that we have the chance to learn from that
Yes.
organization. And you said it was Diane?
Diana Chapman.
Diana Chapman.
She's the
Okay,
co-founder.
wonderful.
Jim Dethmer is the other co-founder, both of them equally, quite frankly, but she's more, I feel a more personal connection to her.
Yeah.
So if I were to pick one role model, I would
Yeah,
say her.
totally.
But Jim is also fabulous. He's the other co-founder of Conscious Leadership.
Fantastic. All right. Now you already referred to it a little bit, and you mentioned a big investment number, 50K in growth. And I know that you are a coach, and we exchange on coaching sometimes, and you are a new entrepreneur, which we're going to leave space for as well. So one of the things that my community has asked for is like, but when do I get coaching? Like, what's the point? How do I benefit from that? And so I just wanted to leave space for you to talk a little bit about how coaching has supported you. If you want to talk about therapy, that's great as well. Just like, how has it supported you? And yeah, anything else you want to say about it? I don't actually have a question because I know you have such a depth of experience and knowledge. And so I'm just trying to leave it as open as possible.
So, I mean, you in that question, you said people have asked, when do I get coaching? And to me, the answer is anytime. You could have a coach every day of your life, and it would support you in exponentially becoming more of who you're meant to be. So that's just my short answer there. But for me, coaching is, I think I may have said this already, but apologies if I have. It's a beautiful mirror for who we are, both in celebrating the success that we've had, but also in being a mirror for the behaviors, the beliefs, the limiting beliefs that we may have that are holding us back. So if I think about coaching, I think a wonderful coach is one that holds up the most crystal clear mirror of myself that I may not be able or willing to see. And by doing that, I can accelerate my transformation of whatever, and we're always transforming. We're never not, right? So I'm on a journey of transformation every day of my life to become more of who I'm meant to be, to live into my full aliveness. And a coach just, in my opinion, helps to accelerate that times 100, times 10, times 1,000, depending on where you are in your life. So for me, I had a coach when I had made that decision to leap. And I don't recall the specifics and how she in particular helped me or what, but I know that had I not had that coach and that one-on-one, I think I was weekly with her at the time, I would have not have come to the realization so quickly that this is what I meant to do and what I meant to do to be. So even if life is fabulous and grand and wonderful, there's always room for a mirror in your life that is one that can help you see more clearly. Because I'm telling you, it's hard for us to see our inner world clearly. We need support of people in our lives, and coaches are brilliant at this to help us to see what it is that we're not willing to see or that we're not able to see even.
Because I definitely for myself, I am currently in a phase where I am willing, bring it. I am currently incapable of seeing, of exploring. I've been going through this massive healing process for the last year from certain, they're called matriarchal wounds. That does not mean it comes from your mother. It just is like there's the patriarchal wounds and then there's the matriarchal wounds. And that's what I've been like exploring and feeling into. And there are just parts of self, myself, that I am willing and I just don't see them. And it's been such a powerful experience for me.
That's why we need community. We're not, we're in, human beings are not meant to be soloists in life, right? That's why we need tribes. And a coach is just, to me, they're instrumental in my life, whether it's to focus on health, to focus on a change that I'm going through, to focus on wanting to just, again, level up my life. I already love it, but I want to level it up. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. Oh, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
you are a new entrepreneur, and we are leaving space to elevate you.
Thank
So
you.
tell us what you're doing, what you're offering, how people can follow you, connect with you, potentially show up to one of your webinars, workshops, things. They're very good. I enjoyed the one I went to. So go ahead.
So, yeah, thank you. I'm interested in transforming leaders and thereby cultures as well, in shifting how we show up by focusing on the how, not the what, but the how, right? How are we showing up as individuals and as organizations? So I work with hungry individuals, I work with pioneering organizations, and I work with like transformative leaders, right? So if you are somebody that's interested, whether it's that you want to attend a one-off public workshop that I offer, or if you're actually interested in bringing me into your organization to see how can we collaborate to level up your culture, to level up your, and also to support investing in your number one asset, which is your people. That's what I'm looking to do, is to work with people that are hungry, that really want to do the work and are not interested in just, kind of like band-aids for issues that are happening in their life or in their organization. So very specifically, I have a flagship program. You can go to my website, christine-kern.com, which I know will be in the show notes. And you can sign up to be notified of when that flagship program gets opened up again.
Perfect. So go check it out. It's in the show notes. So look there. All right. Now, I promised I would share the story of how you
Yes, I was
made
going to
one of my
say.
dreams come true. So we're going to close with that. Now, Christina's already heard this because I already told it to her probably like six times. And every time I introduce her to someone else. All right. So we're going to go back in time. It's 1998. I am a freshman in college. And I am going to school in Pittsburgh. I need a job. I need a job because I am poor. And I go down to the William Penn Hotel in downtown Pittsburgh, which was a very short walk from where I was going to school at the time. And I applied. And I was told I did not have the language skills or the social skills to work at the William Penn. Now, did they say it that way? No, but listen. The poor girl knows when she's being told she is not welcome in the class. Okay. So that was fine. Whatever. Beautiful hotel. So now it is, what was it, 2015?
2015 or 2016. When
Or
does that sound right?
2016?
It may
Because
have been one of those years.
I was still living in Germany. And I get this call from a colleague we have in common who's a rock star. Love her. Way to go, JD. And she says, "Hey, I was approached to do this workshop. I can't make it. They're willing to have you fly in to Pittsburgh." And I'm like, "Heck yes, Pittsburgh. My friends are there. Love it. Let's go." Now, for everyone who knows me and those that do not, you're about to know, I don't stay into the details of travel. I love travel. I'm in. You tell me where to meet you, I'm there, but I don't track it. So I show up in Pittsburgh. I'm sure that I saw it and I'm like my heart wouldn't let me acknowledge where this conference was happening. But I show up and I get dropped off by the taxi in front of, oh yes, the William Penn. Oh yes, the William Penn. And I walk in and I am so excited. I am so not I'm not showing up to work at the William Penn that I was not couth enough to work at, decade before. I am showing up to run a workshop section and to stay as a guest at the William Penn. That is correct. And I was over the moon. I acted like an excited person, the joy. I was buzzing. And so when I checked in, I extroverted self decided to tell the check-in person this entire story.
I love that you did that.
And I got an upgrade. I got to stay in a fancy suite. One of my friends came and stayed with me. They were so excited that I was so excited to stay there. And a dream came true. And there are these unexpected and beautiful synchronicities. There are these moments that we get to say yes instead of no, because I had two small children and I was already traveling a lot for work. And here I am doing another one to go to Pittsburgh, right? And I know I'm moving to the States relatively soon. I don't think it was public knowledge at that point in time. I think I was still negotiating my contract, but I'm so excited. And even now, my body is buzzing because a dream came true for me. I changed how I thought about myself at the time. I went from the girl who was uncouth, couldn't even get a job there, to staying there and getting an upgrade and running a workshop. And so, thank you again, publicly and on record. I will still tell this story every time I introduce you, but now it's on record.
Well,
Thank you, my
here's my
friend.
question. How was the stay? How was the hotel room? Did you
Oh my
enjoy
God, they
it?
spoiled me like nobody's business. They spoiled me. They put me into a view over the plaza towards the triangle of Pittsburgh. I had this new, they brought me one of their luxury robes that like I definitely
Ooh.
was not supposed to have. I had a little
You
sitting.
were supposed to have it because they gave it
Oh,
to
well, yeah, obviously I was like, I was supposed to have it. The reservation under my name was not supposed to have it. It was just this gorgeous moment of wow, this is who I am. This is who I am, and continuing to grow on that. Yeah.
I love that. I love
Yeah.
that.
Yeah. All right, everyone, go make a dream possible. Go make a
Yep,
dream
absolutely.
possible and practice some radical responsibility today. How have I contributed to my results in my life? And what was my part in the positive, the neutral, and the negative results? Thank you.
And the last thing I would add is, what is life whispering to you?
Oh, yes.
And listen to
What is
that.
life whispering to you? Beautiful. All right, until
Thank you
next
so
week.
much.
Take care, everyone. Bye. If the Build Your Brave Career podcast is helping you flip the script in your own career, if it's helping you reduce your stress, work smarter, or create more income, please share this with a friend. Till next time, you are already brave. Now go build your brave.